protests against Israel's war on Gaza continues to spread from coast to coast. More than 500 people have been arrested. We'll go to Atlanta to hear from a Palestinian-American grad student organizer and two arrested professors. Then the Supreme Court hears oral arguments on Idaho's abortion ban and emergency health care.
The doctors are facing mandatory minimum, 2 years in prison, loss of their license, criminal prosecution. The doctors can't provide the care because until they can conclude that a prosecutor looking over their shoulder won't second guess that maybe it wasn't really necessary to prevent death.
We'll speak with the legal director of Pregnancy Justice and take a look at how minority rule is reinforced by the current
We have a conservative supermajority that was appointed by Republican presidents who lost the popular vote and confirmed by Republican senators representing of Americans.
We'll speak with Ari Berman, author of the new book, Minority Rule, the Right-Wing Attack on the Will of the People and the Fight to Resist It. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The University of Southern California has canceled its main commencement ceremony, less than 2 weeks after it canceled a speech by the valedictorian Asnat Bassem, setting off a firestorm. Police arrested over 90 peaceful protesters at USC Wednesday. Nationwide, over 500 arrests have been made on college campuses and guilty as student-led protests have swept the country. Just over the past day, new Gaza solidarity encampments and protests formed at Northwestern, Cornell, Washington University, CUNY, and UCLA, among others. Students are calling for their schools to divest from Israel and stop censoring Palestinian and pro-Palestinian voices and drop charges against arrested staff and students. At Emory in Atlanta, a brutal police crackdown led to at least 28 arrests. Among those arrested was economics professor Caroline Folan, who was knocked to the ground by a police officer while another held her down and bound her hands with zip ties. We'll go to Atlanta after headlines for the latest at Emory. We'll speak with two arrested professors and a grad student. Meanwhile, students at Columbia University, the epicenter of the student encampment movement, filed a civil rights complaint Thursday following arrests by the NYPD and threats to deploy the National Guard. Despite the violent crackdown, students vowed to continue their protests. This is Vincent Doerr of UCLA.
I don't think that our concerns about our personal safety are at the forefront of our minds right now. I think at the forefront of our minds is the violence that Palestinians are suffering at the hands of the Israeli state every day these last 6 months and last, again, almost 80 years.
In Gaza, the city of Rafah remains under nonstop Israeli attacks as Israel prepares to move ahead with its ground invasion. 8-year-old Abdelkarim Al-Kurd described the moment his home was attacked Thursday night.
At night, we were sleeping quietly, my brother and I, in a bedroom. My mother and my grandfather were awake, so when they shelled, the rubble was above us was shattered and the house was smashed. Here, if you want, go and look. The whole house was destroyed. Nothing is left in it.
In other news from the region, a Hamas official said the group would if an independent Palestinian state is established and refugees are allowed to return. The New York Court of Appeals overturned the 2020 rape conviction of Harvey Weinstein Thursday and called for a new trial in a stunning development in his historic case. The disgraced Hollywood mogul was sentenced to 23 years in prison after his 2020 conviction. But the appeals court cited the improper use of what's known as prior bad acts witnesses. In this case, that refers to survivors of Weinstein that testified about their assaults, even if they were not part of the case being tried. Tarana Burke, founder of the Me Too movement, addressed the news yesterday.
We are devastated for the survivors who are connected to this case and the survivors who had found some solace and catharsis in the original verdict around Harvey Weinstein. We also need to understand that the legal system has never served survivors in this country. Carceral solutions won't save us.
Harvey Weinstein's 16-year sentence for sexual crimes committed in California is not affected by Thursday's ruling, though Weinstein's expected to appeal that conviction next. At least 87 survivors have accused Weinstein of rape or sexual misconduct. The U.S. Supreme Court appeared skeptical of Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for his attempts to overturn his 2020 election loss. This is liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor, Quest lawyers.
We would be creating a situation in which we would be saying, this is what you're asking us to say, which is that a president entitled, not to make, but more than that, a president is entitled for total personal gain, use the trappings of his office. That's what you're trying to get us to hold, without facing criminal liability.
Conservative Justice questioned whether the charges against Trump constituted private acts or official acts, which could potentially be shielded from prosecution. But a resolute case could be further delayed, possibly beyond November's election, as the Supreme Court weighs sending the case back to lower courts for further deliberation. This comes as criminal hush money trial continues in New York. On Thursday, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker told the court he made deals with Michael Cohen and Trump to kill embarrassing stories that would damage his presidential campaign, including Trump's alleged affair with Playboy model Karen McDougal. Burkina Faso's U.S.-trained military forces summarily exited at least 223 civilians, including dozens of children, across several villages in the northern Yatenga province in late February. That's according to a new report by Human Rights Watch, which says the extrajudicial mass killings are part of a widespread military campaign to exterminate residents accused of collaborating with Islamic militants. Human Rights Executive Director said in a statement, "The repeated failure of the Burkinabe authorities to prevent and investigate such atrocities underlines why international assistance is critical to support a credible investigation into possible crimes against humanity." Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry has resigned, paving the way for an unelected transitional council to temporarily govern Haiti as the nation faces a worsening humanitarian and security crisis. On the streets of Haiti, locals remain skeptical.
We want to know if this council can fight the gangs, if they can win back security, because personally, I want to be able to go back to Port-au-Prince. Can't fight the gangs, then I'm going to face them. I'm going to become their enemy. They got two missions, elections and security, but security comes first.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said today, he wants the swift deployment of a multinational security mission as the transitional government is installed. In Brazil, thousands of indigenous leaders have been rallying in Brasilia this week, calling on the government to recognize their ancestral lands and enforce stronger protections against illegal mining and other forms of exploitation. Protesters also denounced plans to build a railway that would transport grains across Brazil's farming states to ports in the Amazon rainforest. A group of indigenous leaders met with the Brazilian president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, while others gathered outside government buildings.
In the past, we died by the knife, the bullet, and today we die by the pen, by making laws, by the law and taking away our rights. This is a huge genocide that can happen within our nation, within the people, because our indigenous land is life. For us, it is forest and life.
A sweltering heat wave across Southeast Asia has forced schools in India, the Philippines, and Bangladesh to suspend classes this week. Record temperatures have also disrupted agriculture across the region. The World Health Organization warned Asia remains, quote, the world's most disaster-hit region from weather, climate, and water-related hazards. In Thailand, at least 30 people have been reported dead due to heat strokes so far this year. The Environmental Protection Agency finalized new rules Thursday requiring coal-fired power plants to either cut or capture 90% of their carbon dioxide emissions by 2032 or shut down. Power plants are the second largest source of greenhouse gas emissions after transportation. But climate groups criticize the regulation's reliance on unproven technologies rather than reducing fossil fuel usage. The group Food and Water Watch said, quote, pretending that carbon capture can dramatically reduce climate pollution is nothing but a dangerous fantasy, they said. And the Federal Communications Commission voted to restore net neutrality Thursday in a major win for digital and consumer rights. The five-member commission voted 3-2 to fully reinstate rules established under President Obama and repealed by President Trump that regulated broadband like other utilities and barred internet providers from blocking or degrading certain websites or charging for faster connection. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A wave of student protest against Israel's war in Gaza continues to spread from coast to coast across campuses. From California to Connecticut, students have set up Gaza solidarity encampments to call for an end to the Israeli assault and for university divestment from Israel and the U.S. arms. University administrators have responded by calling in law enforcement, forcibly removing encampments, arresting students and faculty, and suspending students. More than 500 arrests have been made on campuses nationwide just over a week. One of the most violent police crackdowns took place at Emory University in Atlanta Thursday. Local and state police swept onto the campus just hours after students set up tents on the quad to protest Israel's war in Gaza, as well as the planned Atlanta Police Training Center, known as Cop City. Police were accused of using tear gas, rubber bullets, and stun guns to break up the encampment as they wrestled people to the ground. One video shows multiple officers restraining a protester as they apply and hold taser to his leg, as students around him yelled for them to stop. In an email addressing the situation shortly afterwards, the president of Emory University wrote several dozen individuals, quote, largely not affiliated with the university, entered the campus for the protest, disrupting the Emory community amidst final exams. The university later said 20 of the 28 people arrested had ties to the school. Among those arrested were a number of faculty members, including the chair of the philosophy department at Emory University, Noelle McCaffey. A bystander filmed away in handcuffs.
I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do for you right now?
Yes, can you call the philosophy department office and tell them I've been arrested?
Philosophy department?
Yes, call the philosophy department office.
Well, Democracy Now! Spoke to Professor Noelle McCaffey after she was released from custody on Thursday. She described what happened.
I was on campus this morning early for a long day meeting, and I saw that there was an encampment, and I heard some peaceful chanting. I thought I would just go and see how it was going, and also was concerned because in the past, Emory University has not just called out their own police to monitor things, but the Atlanta police. And a moment after I got there, I saw the troopers coming up. I'm not sure if they were the Georgia troop or the Atlanta police, but they were coming up. The students were protesting with tents and all, and I was just wanting to watch, and I wandered over, and suddenly things took a turn. From the students got up to start marching, and then I couldn't see exactly from where I was. They were just being attacked by the police. Over a few seconds, the police were attacking. I could hear rubber bullets. Then I smelled or tasted the tear gas. And then I saw in front of me a student on the ground with three or four policemen pummeling the student, just pummeling and pummeling. And I tried to video it. I was standing there about 3 feet away from it. And it went on for like a minute or two. And I screamed, "What are you doing?" And then they stopped pummeling the student. And a policeman stood in front of me and said, "You need to leave." And I felt like the person who just needed to stay and witness what had just happened. And so I stood there several feet away. And then he started dragging me off and putting my hands behind my back and took me in. He took me around the side, and there were a lot of students arrested and processed, and also some other faculty members. And we were put in a van. The president sent out an email to the community shortly thereafter saying that these were outside agitators. But I was in a group of about 20 to 25 Emory people who were being arrested. So This was a peaceful protest that became chaotic. So at the moment the Atlanta police arrived and became very hostile.
Arrested Professor Noel McAfee of the Fifth Department at Emory University. Several Georgia legislators have criticized the police response at Emory yesterday. In a statement signed by at least 19 state Democratic lawmakers, they said they were, quote, deeply alarmed by reports of excessive force, writing, quote, the use of extreme anti-riot tactics by Georgia State Patrol, including tasers and gas, is a dangerous escalation to protests which were by all accounts peaceful and nonviolent, they wrote. For more on the protests at Emory University, we go to Atlanta, where we're joined by two guests. Emil Kameh is professor of English and Indigenous Studies at Emory University. He was also arrested at the campus yesterday, jailed for 4 hours, charged with disorderly conduct. And we're joined by Umaima Mohammed, an MD, PhD student, Palestinian-American organizer at Emory, who took part in the protests. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Professor Emil Kameh, you were arrested. Why were you out at the protest as the people to begin the encampment? And explain what happened to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Yeah, I was just going to work. I was going to my office to prepare my classes. I was supposed to teach yesterday. And then I ran into some of my students who were participating in the protest, and I went to say hi to them. And I also saw some of my colleagues. So I was talking to them, and then somebody had mentioned that that the university had called the police. And pretty soon they got there, and I literally felt that I was in a war zone when I saw the police with all the gear. And then... like they immediately began to forcibly remove and destroy all the tents and forcibly remove students. I saw then that I started feeling the tear gas, and I held arms with some people that we were being pushed back out of the encampment. And the student that I was holding arms, she was... then arrested, and then the next thing I know, I was on the floor, being forcibly on the floor, and I was being arrested. it was like a horrible experience, very surreal, unacceptable, really unacceptable, and it was just a horrible situation, a horrible experience.
The police are denying they used rubber bullets. What did you see?
So I did see somebody being tased, and then I saw the tear gas, and I felt it in my eyes. I was also next to an older lady, and I was trying to reach her and try to see if I could offer some water. But then, you know, it's I did see the footage, some of the videos of police using rubber bullets as well, but it was very forceful in the screams, and it was very violent and really unacceptable.
The Emory administration has also had a similar response against Stop Cop City protests on campus. Can you talk about the connections between the two?
Yeah, I mean, the protesters were asking the university to divest from investing in Israel, but also Cop City. And, I mean, it is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do because it's, you know, we have to remember that universities on indigenous lands, and these are indigenous territories, and there was an eviction notice written by Muskogee leaders about not building Cap City in Atlanta, and it is a just demand. And hopefully the university will listen to what the students are about this, because I think it's extremely important.
I wanted to bring Umaima Mohammed into this conversation. Umaima, you're a MD, PhD student at Emory. Can you talk about these protests that you helped to organize and why you felt it was so key to take the stand on campus?
Absolutely. So we are at past the 7-month mark of this genocide. And on our campus and in our community, we have repeatedly organized peaceful pressure on our institutions, especially at Emory, to stop harassing and doxing students and to stop repressing speech around Palestine and to die Israeli, the Israeli apartheid state. And every single time, Emory shuts us down. Every single time they crack down and they punish students. Every single time they silence our voices. And at some point, we decided that we no longer accept our tuition dollars and our tax money going to fund an act of genocide. And that was, the, I think, the main motivation for a group of students and community members and faculty and graduate students coming together so powerfully in this moment to say, we just reject this. We refuse to move until Emory listens to divesting from both the apartheid state of Israel and Stop Cop City.
I read an open letter that you had written. I mean, you're particularly deeply concerned about health care. You quoted the Palestinian doctor, Hamam Alo, killed in November when an Israeli artillery shell struck his wife's father, brother-in-law, and father-in-law also died. Democracy Now! Spoke to Dr. Alo on October 31st. This was his response. When I asked him, he refused to leave his patients.
And if I go, who treats my patients? They are not animals. They have the right to receive proper health care.
Doctor,
so we can just leave. You think I went to medical for my postgraduate degrees for a total of 14 years, so I think only about my life and not my patients?
Dr. Hamam Alo would be killed several weeks later. Umaima Mohammed, can you talk about this issue of what we're seeing at this point, 34,000 Palestinians killed, the number of doctors and nurses, staff, universities, and why this is of particular concern to you?
Yeah, so as a future healthcare professional and a current medical student, I am deeply concerned about the lack of concern healthcare institutions in America for what we're seeing. And it's not just in Palestine. Healthcare professionals largely aren't invested in the health and care of community members, like the police violence we saw in Emory's. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me that these people call themselves providers and care workers and are deeply disinvested from the structural and state violence of community members, both locally and internationally. And I use that quote in a letter that I wrote to the School of Medicine a few months ago because of the absolute silence from a healthcare institution on the decimation of the healthcare system in Gaza, on their own peers being murdered in cold blood by the IDF. And so I think one of the concerns that I have with Emory and with the School of Medicine specifically is that they have also, along with the greater Emory community, participated in suppressing Palestinian voices. So a great example of this is very early on to this genocide in October, Emory fired a Palestinian physician for posting a private social media post on her Facebook in support of the Palestinians. And yet, one of the professors of medicine we have at Emory recently went to serve as a volunteer medic in the Israeli offense force and recently came back. This man participated in aiding and abetting a genocide and aiding and abetting the destruction of the healthcare system in Gaza and the murder of over 400 healthcare workers, and is now back at Emory, so-called teaching medical students and residents how to take care of patients. I mean, the disconnect is, for me, very obvious, and it's very frustrating that the School of Medicine and the greater Emory community continues to ignore these major disconnects.
I'm wondering, as we wrap up, Umaima Mohammed, your student, about GILI, the Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange, and this connection between Cop City, which would be the largest police training facility in the country that is being protested as it's being built in Atlanta, and the Atlanta Police in Israel, what this is all about.
Absolutely. So GILI, like you said, is the Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange Program, and it was started at a university, at Georgia State University. And the function of this program is to exchange local police with international police forces. But what this program has become, major connection between the Atlanta Police Force and the Israeli Defense Force. So they send Atlanta police, along with people like medics and first responders, over a military that is illegally occupying land in Palestine to better learn surveillance techniques, to better learn tactics on how to suppress and repress protesters in Atlanta. And they bring back these techniques that are highly militarized and violent and use them against students. And in fact, yesterday we had a Palestinian student speak who said the last time that she experienced what was a war zone on Emory's campus was when she was in occupied Palestine. When we were tear gassed, all she could see was the vision of when she was in occupied Palestine, similarly being tear gassed with those tear gas canisters saying made in the USA. And so what we're seeing happening is an exchange between the Atlanta police and the Israeli Defense Force, which is currently committing a genocide, to exchange tactics on how to better surveil, repress, and harm community members.
And finally, just 10 seconds, but as you talk about the Israel force, you're referring to what's officially known as the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. Can you explain why you call them the IOF?
So we heard the idea that the Israeli Defense Force is defending anything legitimate. The Israeli Defense Force has always been on the offensive, effectively enacting ethnic cleansing against the Palestinians, actively stealing land, creating illegal settlements, checkpoints, creating conditions that are highly unlivable for Palestinians. And that's why we use the language Israeli Defense Force, not the IDF.
Maima Mohammed, we want to thank you so much for being with us, a Palestinian-American student from Indiana, now an MD, PhD student at university. And we want to thank Emil Keme, professor of English and Indigenous Studies at Emory University, who was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct yesterday. University of Southern California has canceled their main stage graduation ceremony because of the protests. Next up, the Supreme Court hears oral arguments on Idaho's abortion ban and Emory health care. We'll talk about that, and then we'll speak with the author Ari Berman about his new book, Minority Rule, and how that has determined the current Supreme Court of the United States. Stay with us.
When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. You don't want to do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. You don't want to do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. You don't want to do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. You don't want to do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home.
When a fire starts to burn, by Disclosure. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to the first Supreme Court case to examine a state ban on abortion since the justices overturned Roe. Oral arguments Wednesday, Idaho said its abortion ban takes precedence over the federal right to receive emergency care, including an abortion. The Biden administration argued Idaho's law violates the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act by only providing emergency abortion care when a patient is facing death. This is U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar addressing the high court.
Women in Idaho today are not getting treatment. They are getting airlifted out of the state to Salt Lake City and to neighboring states where there are health exception laws because the doctors are facing mandatory minimum 2 years in prison, loss of their license, criminal prosecution. The